Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Northern Deception by Laurie Wood. Reunions can be deadly. After a savage attack in university, Kira Summers fled to the safety of Northern Canada and her work as a polar bear scientist. But when her whistleblower brother dies in a mysterious car crash, she must return home to bury him and pack his belongings. Unaware she's carrying explosive evidence someone's willing to kill for, she has no choice but to rely on the one person she never thought she'd see again. Lucas Tanner, a widowed single father of a special needs toddler, moved to Churchill 5 years ago. As the proud owner of Guiding Star Enterprises, a wilderness tour company, he and his daughter lead a simple life. But when Kira comes crashing back into his world, he realizes God has other plans. Now Lucas and Kira must confront a merciless killer as their past and present collide in a deadly race. A race they must win if they have any hope of a future together.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today I'm talking with Laurie Wood. She's a military wife who's lived across Canada and visited 6 of its 10 provinces. She and her husband have raised 2 wonderful children who are now adults, and she's written a ton of books, and they finaled in a lot of contests, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that. But welcome to my show, Laurie.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
So I noticed.
And just to let you.
Yep.
Sorry, just in my. As you introduced me there, just to make a note that my children have special needs.
Oh, yes, yes. That's in your bio. So it's always a challenge, isn't it, to balance that, raising our kids, especially those with special needs, which take more of our time, and writing. So tell me a little bit about your writing journey then. So have you always written? Did you wait till your kids were older? How did that all come? How did that all work together?
Well, I started writing in the late 90s, actually, when they were little and in elementary school. And then when my husband joined the military in 2004, I sort of took a hiatus between 2006 and 2016, which was like basically a decade I took off, because we were moving all over the country. He was deployed to Afghanistan. He did, a 14-month deployment. And that was just a crazy, crazy time. And the kids were, they just needed my full attention, basically, to get them through their high school. So, I didn't write for a decade. And then I picked it up again a couple of years ago, and that was when I got myself published. But I think that my first decade of writing and trying to get published, I learned a lot, and it taught me a lot of things, and I made a lot of connections through Romance Writers of America, and it sort of led me into this, it did lead me into my career for sure, but trying to balance the two was very difficult, and I had to put the kids first for that time period.
Yeah, and I often talk about that whenever I talk about trying to find time to write. I do talk to writers about that sometimes, and I have 4 kids. None of them have special needs, but there were times when, 4 kids, the math is only one mom and 4 kids, So you do have to, kind of reprioritize your life throughout. I always like to liken it. Our lives are not stagnant. There's always these phases, There's a phase where even our teenagers might need you more. I have a senior in high school this year, and so we're having to do a lot of college trips. We had to put them off because we were going to do those over the summer and spring, and everything was closed. So, you have to make those adjustments, and that's okay because, that's just what God has for us now. So I kind of like to embrace that and encourage writers and other, just readers out there that, sometimes yeah, your life may take a little turn, but that doesn't mean that you'll never come back to something you really love, like writing.
That's right. And I think that that was kind of, when I was ready and when the time was right, those connections just all fell into place again. And life has certainly settled down for us, although my husband's still an active serving member in the military and not quite ready for retirement yet, but that day's coming in a couple of years. But certainly, even though the kids are adults, they're not adults, really, mm-hmm. cognitively. So I still basically have a six-year-old and a nine-year-old at home. But there's still much more independent in their routine, and we've got things settled, and they're in a really great day program now. And so I can squeeze out 3 to 4 hours of writing a day, and things are much more calm. So, I think that definitely God brings us through seasons in our lives. And I think that this period of time, I've kind of felt it's like my reward for that decade where it was really, really tough. And we made those sacrifices, but that it's all fine. It's all to the good.
Yes. Yeah. No,
anyways, we're supposed to be talking about romantic suspense.
Sorry. No. Well, I mean, but you have to have, but when you've lived a life, and you've made those sacrifices, I think it can make our writing more authentic, more accurate, when we have some of those life lessons. Not that younger writers can't, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, as you learn about, the things that you went through with your kids, we can translate that into our writing, I think. And make it, authentic and accurate. And so how do you, writing romantic suspense, there's usually something kind of exciting happening, something probably illegal happening. And ensuring that our books are accurate is one of the things that I really try to be, strive about to do. So how do you work on making your books accurate?
Oh, I love research. I absolutely love research. All three of my books, I've done interviews on the phone. I've interviewed people by email. I've interviewed them in person. I was a police officer back in the 1980s before I got married. And so I don't have any problems interviewing the police or making those contacts that I need to do to get things correct, because things obviously have changed in investigative techniques haven't really changed, but the technology has changed.
Right.
So what we were doing in the 80s, I mean, goodness, we didn't even have DNA back in the 80s. We were still, trying to get fingerprints off door frames. So I really, really strive to do everything that I can to make my books very technically accurate. And all of my books are set in Churchill, Manitoba, Canada, which is the polar bear capital of the world. And I did a lot of research on polar bears. And that involved interviewing some of the scientists at our zoo here, the Assiniboine Park Zoo in Winnipeg. And all the polar bears that we have here have been brought down by from Churchill, because they had to be brought down either because they were orphaned as cubs or because they were too involved with human interactions and were a danger up there. So, they usually try and relocate them. They fly them 100 kilometers or more further north from the town. But if the bears come back into town and they're just not going to stay away, then they've been brought down here to the zoo. And I was just fascinated by that whole exhibit over there. And that's what kind of got me started writing about Churchill. So I've never been a shy person. I didn't have any problems calling up and saying, hey, I'm writing a book about Churchill. Can you, can I set up a time and interview you and let's talk about polar bears and how you, track them and deal with the conservation side of things. So it's really important to me that my books are accurate, and it's been fun. That whole part of the research has been really fun. And I also took a night course from a fellow who was our chief coroner here for the province of Manitoba for most of his career. And I guess in his retirement, you know, he's a little bored. So he's been giving night courses on basically just how the office of the coroner works and different aspects of the jurisdiction, the legalities of autopsies, all that kind of thing. And so it's been a while, you know, since I was involved in that, obviously, since from the 80s. And so I took that course last winter just because I wanted to have that in one of my books as well. And so it was very interesting. It's always good to learn new things.
Yeah, I know. And it's kind of fun when you say you're writing a book, you know, people are more apt to want to talk to you and or give you information or point you to information or all that kind. So I find that that's always, you know, people like to talk about what they do. We kind of forget that. People like to talk about what they do, and especially, you know, asking about polar bears and stuff sounds like it's kind of fun, you know, interesting to read about.
People who work with animals, exactly. People who work with animals, especially they're in conservation, they're very keen to tell you all about it and, you know, get as scientific as you want to get. Because they're very passionate about their work. They're very passionate about their work. And so it was interesting. And the other thing that I did was I went up to Churchill last summer in July with my husband. We did a research trip up there for a week. And so I got to do some tours of the whole area around the town. And also the town, which is, it's small, but it's our seaport for part of Northern Canada. So I was actually there because my third book, Northern Protector, which is coming out this December, it takes place during the summertime. So Northern Deception takes place in the winter. That was easy to write about. Canadian winters, no, you don't have to research the Canadian winter, but you have to live through them a couple of times. But I wanted to be up there during the summertime to really get the feel of it and really live through it and the bugs and all the rest of it. And so we went up there last July and did a hands-on trip, and that was great. And the people were awesome, and they were so excited that I was writing a book about the town, and they were, you know, they just were happy to chat about anything I wanted to ask them. So it was really worthwhile. It was really exciting to do that.
So where did the inspiration for your plots come from? It sounds like you kind of picked, did you pick the area first and then the plot, or how did that work for this trilogy?
Well, for this trilogy, I did pick the area, and that was just because I got, like I said, I kind of got excited about the polar bears at the zoo, and that tweaked my thoughts to writing about Churchill and researching Churchill. But the actual plot, Northern Deception is a reunion love story, and that's one of my favorite tropes. I just personally love those kinds of books, so I wanted to write one. And for the Christmas novella Northern Hearts, I wanted to go for sort of a Hallmark mystery, And so it's not quite as heavy crime oriented as Northern Deception and Northern Protector are. And then with Northern Protector, I just picked the hero of that book is the best friend of Lucas Tanner, who's the hero in Northern Deception. And so in Northern Protector, it's the RCMP cop who is the hero for the third book.
Yeah, it's I mean, it is fascinating how those little trails can lead to another one and another one. You know, the plots that you kind of, you know, what if is always a favorite thing to ask. You know, what if this happened? What if that happened? And one of the things I love about writing romantic suspense is marrying that, you know, the suspense mystery part with that romance part. For me, that I really enjoy the kind of the dual storyline. Why do you like writing romantic suspense? Why that genre for you?
Well, I love that part too, because you have the two plots intertwining and you're pinging one off the other. So you get the suspense arc going up to a certain point, And then you flip over to the romance, and you can interweave all the complications. They play off each other beautifully. So it's almost like, you know, people love these time slip books now, mm-hmm. and you're going back and forth between the history and contemporary. And romantic suspense is exactly the same, because you're going from the crime or the mystery back and forth to how their romance and relationship is coming together. And of course, in a Christian one, you've also got the faith element. So you've got three right. things going on at the same time. And as a writer, it can really stretch you and your creativity as to how you're making that whole character arc come together with these three different plot lines. So it's challenging to write, and it's exciting to write. And that's what I love about it the most, I think, is the challenge.
Yeah, me too. It's, you know, I tried to write a straight romance, and they were just involved with the mystery. I said, okay, I just need to do romantic suspense, because then I can just combine them and everyone's happy.
That's right.
I hope.
I can't write a straight romance either to save my life. It has to have some kind of danger in it for me to read it, and it has to have, you know, the danger and the suspense element in it for me to write it, I think.
Yes,
I just really enjoy
you.
It.
I have several friends who write wonderful romances. I don't mind reading them sometimes, but I just can't. I have to do that extra little element of danger in there, that mystery with that suspense. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Well, and unfortunately, we are almost out of time. Is there anything else about your writing or Northern Deception that you would like our listeners to know before we wrap up?
I think mainly that, you know, I hope that they enjoy the fact that it's a Canadian story set in a real Canadian town, that they can actually Google and Google map it. It's a town of 900 people, basically, and, you know, in normal tourist times, not COVID times, it swells up to, you know, four or five times the size. And the polar bear season up there is a fantastic tourist time. To go up and see the polar bears in the big tundra buggies. You go out on the tundra and in these perfectly safe, huge, monstrous tundra buggies, and you're able to see the polar bears, like, right up close, not in a zoo, but right there in their element. And it's just a really fascinating thing. They're wonderful, magnificent animals, and they're not endangered in Canada yet, thank goodness, but they're close, you know. Mm. And the sea ice melting is definitely affecting their habitat for all of our countries, and if we don't take care of them, we won't have them, you know, in another 25 or 30 years. So that's another thing that I sort of wanted to bring to the people's attention by writing these books.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful way to end our show today. So thank you so much for being on my show, Lori.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
And listeners, stay tuned for an excerpt from Northern Deception. You've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm Sarah Hammerker, and I've been talking with Lori Wood. She's a military wife who's lived across Canada, and her trilogy is focused on a real-life Canadian town. So if you want to get some Canadian, learn more about polar bears and a small Canadian town, I hope that you'll pick up her books and read them.
Now an excerpt from Northern Deception by Lori Wood. Kira Summers shivered as she stood beside her brother's open grave. Winnipeg Memorial Cemetery stood bleak and empty. The November sky churned with rain clouds as purple as bruises. Her fingers trembled on the handle of her black umbrella. Sleety snow swirled across the grass and lashed around her ankles in her short dress boots. Kira's pulse roared in her ears, and for a split second she swayed, feeling lightheaded. She stifled her sobs with a tissue.
I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh, she gasped. Her heart thrummed against her chest. She didn't need to turn around to know who was behind her. How long have you been standing there? She jammed the tissue in her pocket.
I just got here.
His hand grasped her elbow and gently turned her around. She looked up into ice blue eyes she'd never forgotten.
Kira, I'm so, so sorry Michael's gone.
She raised an eyebrow at his hand on her elbow. He let her go and thrust his hands into the front pocket of his jeans, rocking back and forth on his heels. Here he was, Lucas Tanner, her long-lost love, and the last man she expected to see today, or any day for that matter. She tried to force a smile and failed.
How did you find out? The world's a small place.
He shrugged.
We've still got newspapers up north. I saw his obituary.
She huffed as she turned away and blew her nose. I meant, how did you know I was here at the cemetery? He took the umbrella from her and placed his hand again on her elbow, turning her away from the flower-drenched coffin.
Where else would you be? And where's Aunt June?
Her arthritis is acting up. The rain. She didn't want to leave, but... Kira paused. She did most of the funeral arrangements. Lucas filled the space she hadn't realized felt like a gaping hole. She had company now. Someone who knew her down to her soul. He stared into her eyes, with the space between them crackling like lightning on a hot summer day.
I'm sorry. My flight was delayed, or I would have met you at the church.
She stiffened. Her throat worked at trying not to cry again. She didn't want to leave her brother, Michael, her only blood relative. He would be all alone, buried in this lonely place. She didn't live in Winnipeg anymore. She'd left for a job up north. Run away. Run away from the man who now stood beside her on the frozen grass.
You're freezing. Let's get you someplace warm.
His hand on the small of her back guided her to the black rental car he'd parked behind hers.
Is there anywhere in particular you want to go?
She snatched the umbrella back. Everything I need is in the car. I'm flying back to Churchill now. I'm sorry you came all this way for nothing. She resisted the urge to reach out and touch him. He wasn't dressed for a funeral or the weather. A worn brown bomber jacket covered a red plaid shirt. He stood as solid and reassuring as she remembered. His hands shoved again into his front jean pockets like he always had. Sun-bleached highlights rimmed his hair. The left side of his mouth still quirked up when he was nervous.
It was the brother I never had.
Those arctic blue eyes pierced her heart.
How could I not come?
Kira clutched the neck of her jacket tighter against the sleet sweeping across the manicured grounds. He'd come. Lucas and Michael grew up together, inseparable and always in trouble when they were young. Lucas drove Aunt June crazy with the antics he put Michael up to. Then there was her and Lucas. She pressed her lips together. Those thoughts led to pain. I need to get to the airport.
I want to know how he died in a car accident. He was a great driver.
Tears threatened to spill over again. She looked away.
It was a rollover on the perimeter highway. He must have been going too fast that afternoon. The police said he rolled twice.
Her cheeks were numb.
Ditch had water in it, they said.
Her voice cracked.
He drowned in a couple inches of water.
Kira could see Lucas's throat muscles working.
Pain contorted his face.
"I have to go. I'm late," she said.
If she stood in front of him a second longer, she'd fall apart. She didn't owe him anything. Kira turned away and headed up the drive to her rental.
"I'll meet you at the airport."
His voice fell away behind her. Kira tossed her purse and umbrella into the car and swung her legs in beneath the wheel. Plastic totes filled with Michael's books and memorabilia filled the back seat of the small sedan. Her luggage was in the trunk. She'd be paying a pretty penny in freight charges to fly everything home to Churchill.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.